Narayana namaskritya narutevam narutamam Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text 20. Nava idam raja shivarya chitram Bhavasu Krishnam Samanu Vrateshu Yidyasavam Raja Kirita Justam Sadyo Jayu Bhagavat Pashva Kama Nava Idam Raja Sivarya Chitram Bhavasu Krishnam Samanu Vrateshu Yidya samam raja kirita justam sadyo jahul bhagavat pashva kama nava idam raja sivarya chitram bhavatsu krishnam samanuvrateshu yidya samam raja kirita justam sadyo jahul bhagavat pashva Kama Hare Krishna. Word for word translation. Na, neither. Va, like this. Idam, this. Rajashi, Saint the King. Varya, the chief. Chitram, astonishing. Bhavatsu, unto all of you. Krishnam, Lord Krishna. Samanuvrateshu, unto those who are strictly in the line of Ye Hu Adyasanam, seated on the throne, Raja Kirita, helmets of kings, Jushtam, decorated, Sadhya, immediately, Jahu, gave up, Bhagavat, the personality of Godhead, Pashvakama, desiring to achieve, association. Translation by Zubangis A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The sages said, O chief of all the saintly kings of the Pandu dynasty who are strictly in the line of Lord Krishna, it is not at all astonishing that you give up your throne, which is decorated with the helmets of many kings, to achieve eternal association with the personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Foolish politicians who hold political administrative posts think that the temporary posts they occupy are the highest material gain of life, and therefore they stick to those posts even up to the last moment of life, without knowing that achievement of liberation as one of the associates of the Lord in his eternal abode is the highest gain of life. The human life is meant for achieving this end. The Lord has assured us in the Bhagavad Gita many times that going back to Godhead, his eternal abode, is the highest achievement. Prahlad Maharaj, while praying to Lord Sringa, said, Oh my Lord, I'm very much afraid of the materialistic way of life, and I am not the least afraid of your present ghastly, ferocious feature as Nisringadeva. This materialistic way of life is something like a grinding stone, and we are being crushed by it. We are falling into this horrible whirlpool of the tossing waves of life, and thus, my Lord, I pray at your lotus feet to call me back to your eternal abode as one of your servitors. This is the summit liberation of this material way, of materialistic way of life. I have very bitter experience of the materialistic way of life, in whichever species of life I have taken birth, compelled by the force of my own activities, I have very painfully experienced two things, namely separation from my beloved, and meeting with what is not wanted. And to counteract them, the remedies which I undertook were more dangerous than the disease itself. So I drift from one point to another, birth after birth, and I pray to you, therefore, to give me a shelter at your lotus feet. What a prayer. The Pandava kings, who are more than many saints of the world, knew the bitter results of the materialistic way of life. They were never captivated by the glare of the imperial throne they occupied. And they sought always the opportunity of being called by the Lord to associate with him eternally. Maharaj Parikshit was the worthy grandson of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Maharaj Yudhishthira gave up the imperial throne to his grandson. And similarly, Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of Maharaj Yudhishthira, gave up the imperial throne to his son Janmijaya. That is the way of all the kings in the dynasty, because they are all strictly in the line of Lord Krishna. Thus the devotees of the Lord are never enchanted by the glare of materialistic life, and they live impartially, unattached to the objects of the false, illusory, materialistic way of life. Om Agnyanat Mirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakchu Omilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakala Mayam Dadati Swapadatikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravan Kacharini Nirveshesha Sunyavari Paschatiyade Shatayami Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prempadaya Te Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurati Jai Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jaya. Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya, Himabili Vachavichandaraya, Tasmila Premaraspadaya, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. So here's the translation again. The sages, they said, O chief of all the saintly kings of the Pandu dynasty who are strictly in the line of Lord Sri Krishna, it is not at all astonishing that you give up your throne, which is decorated with the helmets of many kings, to achieve eternal association with the personality of Godhead. So this is the total voice of the sages in response to Maharaj Parikshit, receiving them very nicely, revealing his mind to them that he wanted to fast for 7 days. Chikadeva Goswami was there to preach to him, answer his questions, and from that Srimad Bhagavatam was to come out. This is all the plan of Krishna. So, the idea was related from Maharaj Parikshit as to what he wanted to do to these sages, and they very much approved of it. And their response is this particular verse. O chief of all the saintly kings of the Pandu dynasty, who are strictly in the line of Lord Sri Krishna. So we may not be kings now, but we are also in the line of Lord Sri Krishna by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual master, the preeminent spiritual master for the society. So we are also fortunate in that way. Now the sages said, they knew that materialistically Maharaj Parikshit was very well off. But they say, it's not at all astonishing that you give up your throne, which means the position of king, emperor, which is decorated with helmets of many kings. He's the emperor, therefore many kings were actually under him. But still gave up this imperial throne to achieve eternal association with the personality of Godhead. He was going to go to the Lord's abode. The sages were sure of that because of the way in which he was going to leave. He was going to leave having his full attention on hearing the wonderful, glorious activities, transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, as we're hearing all of this, we should be asking ourselves, am I doing the same thing? Am I behaving in a saintly way? Am I ready to hear consistently the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Am I ready to chant the Lord's name with great attention? And am I ready to go back to Godhead, in that when that time, the last examination comes, I will be thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Now, the answer to the last question, when that time comes, is the answer is given, or the situation is described in the Shastra, that the things that we think of, or the personalities that we think of the most in our material life, are most likely the one that's gonna come to mind when we are on our deathbed, in the last stages of life. The dominant thoughts are the ones that are gonna come. The dominant thoughts throughout our lives. That's why Rupa Goswami is saying, think of Krishna all of the time. Think of Krishna 24/7. That means even when you're going to sleep, we should in fact have Krishna in our mind. Read something spiritual, hear something spiritual, then go to sleep. Then the mind, and therefore the subtle body, the mind is part of the subtle body, has been put in the situation, the realm of thought of Krishna. And that way, the dreams might even be Krishna conscious. You don't have control of your dreams, but if you feed the subtle body, the mind, Krishna consciousness over and over and over again, then even those times when you sleep, chances are very high that the dreams will also be spiritualized. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada begins to discuss the politicians of today. Maharaj Parikshit was in politics. Maharaj Parikshit was an emperor. Therefore, the administration, material administration, was under his care. That's why Srila Prabhupada is comparing him to those who are the administrative, the modern day administrators. And he starts by qualifying them with the word foolish. Foolish politicians who hold political administrative posts think that the temporary posts they occupy are the highest material gain of life. Therefore, they stick to those posts even up to the last moment of life. Now, I don't need to tell you what's going on in the United States. You put two and two together yourself. You can tell. Nobody needs to tell you the situation we're in. At the presidency level, that is. But it's not even worth getting into it. We all know. But these politicians don't know that actually being liberated from the material world and becoming one of the associates of Krishna is in fact the best thing that could happen to anybody. To anybody. That's why Srila Prabhupada is trying to get us to focus on everything that we need to do to go to the spiritual world. These politicians think that the highest material gain of a certain degree is popularity in any country comes to that particular position of president. So they stick to those posts. There's some power involved and they get, drunk by those power, intoxicated by that power. Especially the Prabhupada is saying they don't realize that becoming one of the associates of the Lord in his eternal abode is the best use of this human body and the mind. So then he said in the next, the human life is meant for doing just that. Getting liberated, thinking about Krishna, serving Krishna, serving Krishna's devotees, serving Guru, serving from our hearts, serving with the aim, I am here to please the senses of Krishna. And if I please the senses of Krishna, Krishna will be happy with me. So, when we have little children, let them hear things about Krishna. Nursery rhymes about Krishna. Coloring books about Krishna. Start them from a very young age. And you start chanting. Don't force them to chant. It's something that they must like to do. And since they look up to us as parents, they think that what we do is the right thing to do. So when they see us chanting, they're going to think the right thing to do is to chant. And this is exactly what we want them to be about. To chant in front of them. You say, oh, well, I get up early in the morning and finish my rounds. That's good, the Brahma Muhurta time. That is very good. But the rounds are 16 minimum, which means you can do some more. So check out a time when the children are around you and pick your bead bag and do some extra rounds. One or two rounds, just so the children would see you chant. And you yourself will get more spiritual credits for chanting. And then, if they get interested, want to do the same thing mommy and daddy are doing, then immediately provide them with maybe neem beads, because they will start off not knowing exactly how to go about it, but then, you know, small bead bags. I remember one devotee family that's still in Giranagri, their first daughter, her name was Devaki. We were living, and she and myself were living, we didn't have children at that time. No, we didn't. So we were living at the Institute House, where that's the residence of Bhaktivedanta Swami. This little girl came to, you know, they left her with us. And Giranagri, we were living as a community. So if anybody wanted to go, we didn't have babysitters. We didn't have to have babysitters. You just get your child to the next house. Everybody knows everybody. So we were taken care of Devaki. She came to me first. I was watering plants at the Institute House, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's residence. He was so excited about it. Oh, can I water? Absolutely. Then I showed her, gave her a smaller container, and she was putting water on I was putting water on the plants, she was putting water on the plants. By the way, I'll let out something about the plants to you. I don't know to this day why Bhaktivedanta Swami mentioned this, but he said they are plant devotees. They are plant devotees. And the only thing I can say about that is, well, you know, things don't happen by accident. And so if those plants have, you know, been now situated in a place where there's spirituality going, the spiritual master lives, then definitely there's some connection there. So she helped me with that. And then she came to the kitchen. This is this little girl. She had some toys, toy stove, toy pans, toy sauce pans. And so when she was cooking, she was also doing her little, you know, make-believe type cooking. And she finished cooking. And she set up something for offering. This is all being done by herself. And what blew my mind is that she didn't really say the prayers because she didn't know the offering prayers. This was like, she must have been maybe 4 or 5 years old, something like that. But she had seen her parents do it. So after she finished, she sat in one corner of the room and put her hands under her clothes, media clothes, and then she became very quiet. And this is the pose that many second initiates who chant Gayatri do. Her parents were both second initiates. So she had seen her parents do it. And so she also was just, you know, she obviously doesn't know the Gayatri words, but she was in the Gayatri pose. So they do copy what parents do. So it's just a matter of letting them know, letting them see you do it, and they'll do it. Like that. Just lovingly get them associated with that by being the example. So human life, from that age, When they get older, then it's, you know, it's been part of their life, part of their, you know, growing up. They've seen people in the community do that. So they just do it because it is part of life. Then they get older and they learn that actually this is how you go back to Godhead. And they do the same thing. Maharaj Pariksit was also raised in a wonderful family. Krishna conscious family. The grand uncles and the grandparent were the Pandavas. So definitely they were all about Krishna. And so Maharaj Pariksit was all about Krishna. He was trained, and now he also has seen when the imperial throne was given to him, he had seen his grand uncles and grandparent and their wife go away to take Krishna consciousness fully seriously, 100%. So when he heard the news from Sringi that due to his mistake, even though it was an overreaction on the part of Sringi, the Brahmin boy, he would be dying in 7 days, he also left the throne to, he had four sons. Maharaj Janmijaya was the first son. So he left the imperial throne to him. He was also trained. Maharaj Janmijaya was very, very, very capable personality for that activity of, you know, running things, the administration. So human life is meant for going back to Godhead. Why did Srila Prabhupada say that? Well, we have to remember, no matter what we want to think about this material world, this is Krishna's deal. So human life is meant to prepare ourselves to get out of jail and go be with Krishna and have a very, very happy life. And Prahlad Maharaj, who was the son of Hiranyakashipu, a demon, so he was hassled a lot by his father, Hiranyakashipu, because he was just a devotee of a lord. Hiranyakashipu was a demon and wanted Prahlad Maharaj to live a material life. And Sanda and Amarika, the two teachers, were given the task of making him a great materialist. But Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee of a lord who wasn't about to change his mind in any kind of way. He had heard of Krishna consciousness while in the womb of his mother. So he came out a devotee, not to be swayed in any way from becoming anything but a devotee. Prahlad Maharaj was tormented by his father. Now, he's saying to Lord Nrisingadev, after Lord Nrisingadev appeared and killed his father, "Oh my Lord, I'm very much afraid of the materialistic way of life. And I'm not in the least afraid of your present ghastly, ferocious feature as Nrisingadev. The demigods, even Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, were all afraid to come near Nrisingadev. With, you know, having killed, just literally bifurcated the body, just ripped his stomach open and taken intestines out and was wearing the intestines as a garland. And he looked, you know, ferociously beautiful in a way of describing it. But the ferocious part really concerned the demigods and Lakshmi, Mataji, so nobody wanted to come near him, and, you know, so. And he was in this still ferocious mood. You could see in his face, this is Lord Sringadev. And nobody could pacify him. Nobody felt qualified to be able to say anything to pacify Lord Sringadev. But Prahlad Maharaj started praying. He says, "I'm not even afraid of your feature like this. But materialistic way of life? That's what I'm afraid of the most." And then he describes it. "It's like a grinding stone, and we're being crushed by it. It's like an invisible grinding stone. You don't see a real grinding stone. But we try, and we're being crushed. The physical body alone is proof of it. Because at some time, when you're younger, then you don't feel the crushing so much. But when you get older, then the body begins to fall apart. The pain that comes is like a pain when stone falls on you or being rolling on you. So one part hurts and another part hurts and another part hurts. I remember my mother-in-law, she said, the conversation was all pain here and pain there and pain here and pain there. That's all she was talking about. And took a lot of medicines. And the medicines started reacting and interacting with each other and causing more harmful side effects. So we're not to say that you should live a morbid life, but we also have to be aware of the reality of it, that we are in jail. And Krishna really wants us to go back home to enjoy forever, not get old, certainly not get crushed by any grinding stone in any kind of way. So he's saying, I pray at your lotus feet, this is Prahlad Maharaj, to call me back to your eternal abode as one of your servitors. That should be our prayer. We have fallen into this whirlpool of tossing waves of life. Lord Chaitanya said the same thing also. Ayinanda kanuja kinkaram atitama vishami vipam buddha kripaya tava parapankaja sita duli sadisham jintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I'm your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other, I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. So please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Very similar to this prayer here. I pray at your lotus feet to call me back to your eternal abode as one of your servitors. And nobody should feel that this is so different from what everybody else is thinking. Well, the fact of the matter is, everybody is in Maya to some extent. The rest of the world, the non-devotees, don't quite understand. They are thinking that through science and through different new products, we are going to make life better for us. But disease is increasing, so life is not becoming better. Taxes are increasing, so life is not becoming better. We're getting old, so life is not becoming better. And we can't change those things. Some of it are done by man, especially the taxing part. So we have nobody to apologize to for thinking that way. As a matter of fact, the Prabhupada has given us the best situation of life. Get out. And while we don't have it as terrible, because it could be more terrible, Kali Yuga progressing, it's going to be that way. When it is not as terrible as it could possibly be, the way it's been described later in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the time to take Krishna consciousness seriously and get out. If you are on the boat, and it's time to get out because you need to get from the boat to the land, it's better to get off the boat when the waters are not as ferocious. But when the waves are tossing and the boat is just going here and there and you say, I want to get out, that's a more difficult situation. You may be able to get out or you may drown. So while we go about our material life, we should understand that Krishna consciousness is a matter of our salvation. So Prahlad Maharaj says, in whatever species of life that I've taken birth, compelled by the force of my own activities, he's talking about his karma, I have very painfully experienced two things. One, separation from you, Krishna, my beloved, and meeting with all kinds of challenges, what is not wanted. And then to counteract that, I did more things materially which were even more difficult, troublesome than the disease itself. And so, trying to fix things, what happened? I took birth, another birth, another birth, and another birth, and each birth is very, 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 very difficult. We don't remember our birth, that's why sometimes we just take birth lightly. But when the soul, as the Shastra tells us, is confined in the womb, confined, and just imagine being confined, everything around you, and it's totally dark. You're confined and it's totally dark. And you're at the mercy of whatever your mother eats that comes to you. And then there are bugs that are biting. It's a very, very, very precarious situation to be in. So that being the case, we shouldn't want to take birth again. at all, anywhere in the material world. So, Srila Prabhupada said the Pandava kings were well aware of the bitter results of the materialistic way of life. One of the bitter results is you struggle so hard to acquire some things materially. What happens in the end? Death comes and takes it all away. The government taxes you for so many things and take much of what you work hard for. And then Krishna comes as death, if you're a materialist, to take everything away. But for a devotee, what the devotee has materially in their care also gets taken away. But the devotee gets released from prison and they're going to enjoy way better situation than the materialistic way of life that we had here. Therefore, for a devotee to give up things, you start giving away things even before we die. Just give it away. Simplify life. That's why Srila Prabhupada says that. And give it away, for especially for Krishna conscious activities, the best thing to do. So, we should be seeking the devotees of the Lord and associate with them. Because when it's that way, we will also think at the time of death that we want to associate with the devotees of the Lord who are in the spiritual world. So, all of these kings in the dynasty, in the line of Lord Krishna, they are not enchanted by materialistic life. They are not attached to the objects of a false, illusory, materialistic way of life. False and illusory. They put it there because it seems, Srila Prabhupada says that, it seems that it would give us happiness, but actually all it does is, at best, counteract the challenges that we face in material life, and the demigods throw at us. So we should be detached. We should be detached from materialism. Bhagavad Gita chapter 1, text 27, Srila Prabhupada talks about detachment. The principles of knowledge and detachment are two important factors in transcendental realization. Two important factors. Get to know more about Krishna and detach from materialism. Two important things to do. So that is from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, text 27. Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 1, chapter 9. We are in chapter 19. This is chapter 9, text 26. The main purpose of Ashram Dham. We talk Varna and Ashram Dharma, but the Ashram Dharma, that part, which means the Brahmachari, the Grihastha, the Vanapras, and the Brahmachari student training and getting understanding about Krishna consciousness from Guru. Grihastha means married life, but dedicating the life itself and the children all to Krishna consciousness. Vanapras, retired life, spending more time now, husband and wife, in Krishna consciousness, and sannyasi, a renunciate that is 100% connected in all activities to Krishna consciousness. That's the ashram dham part of it. What's the purpose? It's to awaken our knowledge of Krishna and detachment. So the earlier reference talk about knowledge and detachment are two important factors. Ashram Dham is also the same thing. To awaken knowledge and detachment. Brahmachari ground is a, Brahmachari Ashram is a training ground, and then on to married life, and on to retired life, and on to renunciate type lifestyle. Conditioned souls, we are in these material bodies. We are under the material bondage. Therefore, we are prisoners of matter. So self-realization is the ultimate aim of life. That's why Srila Prabhupada wrote the book, The Science of Self-Realization, and that's what I started with. It's such a revealing book, and now we're actually reading it every Thursday at 6:30. There's a bunch of devotees. You're welcome to join if you want to. We read and discuss The Science of Self-Realization. So the whole system of Ashram Dham is for detachment. It's for detachment materially. So, of course, from brahmachari, if you still want to get into a family situation, you can, and then, you know, grihastha family situation is there. I see the Papa himself went through it, you know, married, father, of course, and the mother gave birth to him, and then he also got married, and he had children. He was in grihastha ashram for a while, and then he left family and then became a sannyasi. So, even Sankhya philosophy, we heard about it in Canto 3, preached by Kapila Dev. And now we also know that Lord Dattatreya also preached Sankhya philosophy. So, knowledge and attachment is what Sankhya philosophy discusses. That is the real perfection of life. So, in Sankhya philosophy, knowledge means that we have to have the mission of this human life, understand that the mission of human life is to end all miseries of material existence. We don't take birth again. The only way anyone doesn't take birth again in the material world is to go back home. So, in spite of fulfilling all the bodily necessities in a regulated way, we have to be detached from this life. If you do only that and nothing else, then you're living a sophisticated animal life, if we do that. So, we have to be determined through knowledge and through persistence, stay. Anything that happens, then we get thrown, whatever, we serve in an unfailing way. Then we'll come to that Brahma Bhuta platform. So, we should find ourselves or consider ourselves very fortunate. Very fortunate that we know the world, the material world, for what it is. We know so much more than the average person knows. Even some of the scientists, we know more than they do. They don't know about, even this universe, how many planetary systems are there, but we know that. It's common knowledge to us, 14 planetary systems. There's an upper system, there's a medium system, there's a lower system. Even that's not known by them. But they don't have the kind of instruments to measure that kind of thing and come across that information from their instruments, because their instruments are limited. Every one of them has what we call error. Now, what's the English of error? Error means that there's some uncertainty in there. And that's the instruments they use. So that's why so much research is going on. If there was no need to find out more, even materially, then there wouldn't be need for research. But Krishna is saying, don't spend so much time finding out about materialism or how things work or what you can put together. Serve Krishna with the material things. Serve Krishna. That is the detachment. The things that we use for serving devotees, for serving Guru, and for serving Krishna. That's real detachment, because we really don't own anything. So we say, oh, we want to detach. But you can't detach from something you don't own. That's why my Guru Maharaj gave an example. As we can go to New York and stand in the Brooklyn Bridge and announce to everyone, I renounce the Brooklyn Bridge. But now you don't own the Brooklyn Bridge. How can you renounce something you don't own? It's everything. Everything is not owned by us. Nothing. Some things are in our care. Now, when you live in an apartment and the landlord is a different person, then the apartment is in your care. So you take care of the apartment, but it doesn't mean you own the apartment. That's our situation. But everything that even got our names on it will be signed, and in the end, when Krishna comes to take everything away, then we really, you know, get it. Then we'll get it. How do we own things? Well, you can't keep them. So it's not yours in the first place. If I try to keep it, it's not mine in the first place. So, the conclusion is there is no real end to materialism. Everything material is taken away. Life at this point gives little material pleasure and then a lot of anxiety. So we replace it in Paramdhisvanavratate. We replace the lower with the higher. Krishna consciousness. That will bring happiness, internal happiness, when we connect with the soul. So some of our prayers should be to plead with Krishna, to plead with Guru, to teach us how to love Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada came to the United States and the press caught up with him and asked him, and he granted an interview, and he said, "What is the aim of your Krishna conscious movement, the Hare Krishnas?" He says, "The Hare Krishnas are helping the world to know God, how to know God, and how to love Him." He says, "Oh, so it's about knowing God and how to love Him." He said, "Yes. But many people don't even know God, much less learning to love Him. But that's what the movement is about." So we are also learning to serve. And through devotional service, service from our hearts, we will develop love for Him. To the point that even when we're chanting, we will feel the sweetness of Krishna's name. Krishna's name is very sweet. But sometimes when we have all our distractions, then we don't connect so much with the heart in the chanting. And the mind tends to roam. But Krishna's name is very, very, very sweet. Krishna's name is Krishna. Krishna is absolute. So even His name is Him. And He's very loving, and therefore, in the chanting, we will in fact feel, if we chant steadily, then we will be able to chant emotionally, then you begin to connect. You begin to connect with the potency of the name and actually feel it, and then become happier. So, we should also pray for our mind to be removed from sense gratification, because that's what blocks the real love of Krishna, Krishna prema. We are striving for Krishna prema. Sense gratification has got to go. That is material, temporary, so-called happiness, sense gratification. And finally, since our final exam is the time of death, we should pray for remembrance of Krishna. Pray to remember Krishna at the time of death. Very important. And speaking about that, it is very, very important to relate well to devotees, because it serves two things. One, when we relate well to devotees, we are practicing how to relate well to the residents of Vaikuntha. It is not non-devotees that's going to help us so much. Non-devotees, if we relate to them well, yeah, we relate to them in the mode of goodness. But devotees are living a transcendental life along with the material necessities. If we relate to devotees, Krishna's are very affectionate towards His devotees. So if we relate well to devotees, Krishna will be affectionate to us. So that's one of them. One of the reasons. Relate well to devotees. And because we're relating well to devotees, when the time comes, we're on our deathbed, they will feel more inclined to come around us to chant the holy name of Krishna when our senses are shutting down and the sense of hearing is still there and we're in a lot of pain because when the senses shut down, imagine trying to breathe and you can't breathe properly. That alone can bring confusion to the mind. You cannot see. That alone can bring confusion to the mind. But the hearing is still there. As we know, that if somebody is sleeping, you can call their name and wake them up. So when somebody is sleeping, their sense of seeing is gone, but their sense of hearing is still alive. Very much so. So you can hear the name of Krishna, and non-devotees can't tell you about Krishna. It's Krishna, it's Krishna consciousness, and the name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, will be arranged for you to hear, for me to hear, by devotees. That's why it is important to keep a good relationship with the devotees. So it helps us to relate well because we practice how to relate well to the devotees as our preparation for life in the spiritual world, and because it also gives us good bond, good wonderful bond between ourselves and the devotees. At the time of death, they will also come help us to remember Krishna so that we succeed, pass the test. So Maharaj Parikshit was totally detached, and the sages were very, very much approving of the way in which he handled himself and the way he planned, you know, his departure. And he's saying, "It's not astonishing at all. You have so much wealth, but you still gave it up. So much power, but you gave it up." in order to achieve the eternal association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So thank you, dear devotees, for giving me this service. Now you can unmute your phones and you can mute yourselves and then comment or ask questions or share realizations as you like. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. The human body is the one that tells us we can get out, because there's intelligence that comes with this body, the subtle body, that is high enough to be able to understand what life is about. Now, as far as being here several lifetimes, Krishna removes that from our memories as a matter of helping us. It's actually a way in which we can go on with our own lives, because if we had to remember previous lives, remember, previous material lives means we didn't go back. And if we didn't go back, that means we did some things that disqualified us from going back. So if you want to know what we were like in the previous life, then it means we're asking to remember those things that disqualified us. Not to mention to remember the type of bodies that we're in. Now, suppose I was a dog. Do you think I really want to know what my life was like as a dog? Or worse, a mouse? Or worse, an ant? I have seen ants move around. And sometimes I just look at it and say, what in the world are they doing? Because they go and one, two, and then they turn around and then come back where they walk. And say, there's no purpose to this. I'm looking at this. And, you know, if I was an ant some lifetimes back, I wouldn't want to know. I really wouldn't want to know. So in one sense, we being blocked from knowing our previous life is actually, you know, helpful to us. So this life, though, that is not only the greatest life that we have, because it is a human life, a human body, and it is also, on top of that, by the mercy of Guru, one in which we've gotten to know about Krishna and how to get out. This is the best body to have. This is the best situation to be in when you're a devotee and you're in the human body. Human body and devotee. So Srila Prabhupada says, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. This is the time to jump. If you're living a material life, or you're living in this country and the material life isn't that bad, as a matter of fact, all you have to do is go to other countries. You realize that American material life is a whole lot better. It's a whole lot more convenient. Not better, but convenient than others. So if you're living a convenient life and you're, so I'm in a situation that's a little better than other material lives in other countries. Yeah, but there's problems around the corner. That's everywhere, in all the planets in the material world. So you have an opportunity to get rid of these problems once and for all. Why play with it? If we play with it, we cheat ourselves. That's why the Srila Prabhupada says, finish your business this lifetime and go home. Then you'll be happier. You won't have to get old. You don't have to get diseased. You don't have to pay taxes. You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to go to school. You have none of that. And you just enjoy yourself in service, like that. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or takeaways? Hare Krishna. Very, very, very important point that Prahlad Maharaj just gave to us. Prahlad Maharaj was such a very, very wonderful personality for us. When he was little, even in school, 5 years old, they say, it's classmates, let's play. No, this is time to get to know about Krishna. Why? Because, you can leave a body at any time. Little children also die. So get to know about Krishna now. And he took the task of convincing the children of demons who were in the school. He himself was a child of a demon, but he was a full devotee. And so it is very important. So much so that, Prahlad Maharaj says, even the ghastly form of Nrisimhadev that the others that were assembled were afraid of, he wasn't afraid of that. Says, my fear is to be stuck in the material world. So that tells us that the difficulty will just go on and on and on and on until we leave the material world. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your takeaway, expressing your takeaway. Any other takeaways or questions or realizations? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, from Xavier. Let me read that now. Hare Krishna. So the counterproductive desire for sense gratification seems too difficult to conquer by our own will. That is why we pray to Krishna to remove those desires. How do we then pray sincerely for that? Sense gratification is challenged to everybody because in the advanced countries especially, their push for life is to enjoy it, and enjoy it to them is enjoying the senses. We have been given regulated principles that bring us up to the human platform. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no fish, no eggs. And sometimes when one comes to Krishna consciousness, one or two or three or all four of them are being lived on as their life. And now they have to give it up. And so it becomes difficult. Because things that we practice for years to try to give it up is difficult. But hopefully we remember that even when we were not devotees, but just, you know, religionists, everything that was outside our control, what did we do? We prayed. We prayed to God. Please help me with this. Please help me with that. And so to be more cleaned up as a devotee by avoiding sense gratification, if we can't do it on our own, then the prayer is very appropriate. And the prayer does not have to be a prayer that's so difficult. Just express yourself that I am struggling with this, you know, part of the regulated principles. Please help me out of that. But you have to pray sincerely and cry to Guru, cry to Srila Prabhupada, cry to your Guru if you initiate it, cry to the picture of your Guru if he's not with you. Cry to Krishna, cry to Lord Gauranga, Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda was praying and rolling on the ground in Navadvipa to get people to chant the holy name of the Lord. So chanting should be taken seriously, but sense gratification, when we don't have much control over it, let's talk a little bit more about that. It starts with sinful activities and sinful desires. Both of them are there. Some people are going through the sinful desires and going, you know, actualizing the sinful desires by doing the sinful activity. So the four regulated principles says no to those. So even when somebody stops it, sometimes the sinful desires are still there. And if the sinful desires are still there, the chances of falling back into the sinful activity is still there. So it's not a question of stopping the sinful activity only, but especially the sinful desire that comes from the mind, it's difficult to stop. And that's where we need to pray and pray and pray and pray. And we have to pray like Advaita Acharya prayed. They pray consistently. We ask over and over and over and over again. Not just one time. You say it every day. Whatever prayer that you want. In Giranagri, one example. We had an old temple, and a new temple was built. And it was being completed. It wasn't completed yet. And so after Mangalati, a decision was made for the whole community. Those who come to Mangalati, and a lot of people were coming at that time, were living very close to the temple, and some were living in the temple grounds. We will all make one prayer. Dear Shri Shri Radha Damoda, please help us move you to the new temple by, and I think it was Kartik's time, before the end of Kartik. Yeah. Yes, of course. If you so desire, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. Please. Yeah. By end of Kartik, please remove. Yes. If you so desire, because Krishna's supreme will is through his will that things get done. So, that was the right approach. Please help me. So you definitely can say, you know, please help me get rid of sense gratification. And he will do it. Each one based on where our minds are at and which sense gratification we're struggling with. Christian will devise a thing, but you have to keep asking. Keep asking and keep asking. So we kept praying and we kept praying. And it so happened that the last day or the day before, I think, I'm not sure, but it was very, very close to the end of Kartik, that time came and the Lord got moved into the new temple. Very, very, very grand temple. And in the old temple and the new temple were just yards apart, just a few yards. So we put a nice carpet on the floor. Not on the floor, take it back, but on the ground. From the door of the old temple to the door of the new temple was a carpet. And some devotees, sannyasis were there. I remember Chandamali Swami was there. And all the deities, one by one, one being held by each devotee, came up in a line and moved, walking on the carpet. So given a very, very grand reception into the new temple, we moved like that. The prayer was answered by Krishna. The prayer for sense gratification, to seize sense gratification is a spiritual prayer, not a material prayer. We're asking to get away from materialism, and it's only materialism and spiritualism. So if we ask to get away from materialism, which is get away from sense gratification, that is a spiritual prayer. Pray to Srila Prabhupada, pray to Lord Gauranga, pray to Lord Nityananda, like that. But pray consistently, and it would in fact be done. Hare Krishna. Any other last questions of prayer? Takeaways? Hare Krishna. Yes, Damodar Prabhu, please go ahead and unmute yourself. So very, very, very good advice. Hare Krishna. Go ahead. Very, very good advice. Increase the quantity and or quality of the service that you already do. If you increase that, what's going to happen is that our love for Krishna will also increase. And our love for Krishna increasing means that our happiness will also increase. And we'll be more and more detached. It's a question of, you have to find out by doing it. If you find out, then you realize that, oh, so this is so true. And then sense gratification pales. It begins to go down. The desire for it goes down. But it is from increasing the quality. If you want to love somebody, you serve them. The more you serve them, the more attached you'll be to them. Same thing. The same thing in Krishna consciousness. So thank you for giving the examples of coming for Gaura Atik, and some devotees come now. And it's very nice, a nice bond with Shishinita Gorachandra in the evening. So if you can, yeah, come. 6:30, and Gaura Atik is on. And, you know, they're giving their mercy like that. The deities are. Or wherever you are, if you have time, you go to your temple, you know, do that. And ask for service. Ask for service. Ask for service, because that means you're telling Krishna, I want to serve you. Ask for service from the authorities. And if there's something else that you can do, tell them, I have this background. Can I do so and so? What? How can I do with my background? How can I serve a temple? And get some service and do it. Tell them about your background. Tell the authorities your background and do that. And arrange your time. You'll also realize the time that sometimes we get into Maya, we won't have time for it anymore when we increase our services. So it's all good for us. We just have to do it. Hare Krishna. Any last questions or last comments? If not, then I thank you very much and apologize for going so much past 9:00. But it's all good. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpataru gashya kripa sunibhe eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vaishnava Thakur ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol jai. Hare Krishna jai. Kala Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna jai. Kala Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Jai.